Over the past decade, there's been an ongoing push by both political parties to make the federal government a lean, mean, efficient machine. By some measures, that goal has been accomplished. The federal workforce today is 20% smaller than it was 10 years ago. But these cuts have led to a potentially dire situation. Across the board, one-third of all career employees now serving in the federal government will be eligible to retire in just a few years. And when it comes to top managers, nearly half are not only eligible to retire, but are expected to do so. Now, there are new warnings that replacements are not available to step in. NPR's Emily Harris has more.
Dr. Vince Rousseau is the executive director of the Aeronautical Systems Center at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. His staff includes 5,000 civilian employees who research new technologies for weapons systems and who oversee buying military aircraft from outside contractors. He says no clear downsizing strategy during the cuts of the past decade forced him to use the Civil Code rough guide of last hired, first fired.
After 10 years or more doing that, we're now at the position that over 50% of our people are eligible to retire in 4 to 5 years, and there's nobody in pipeline.
That's partly because of hiring freezes and partly due to ongoing issues of recruitment and retention. Rousseau's problem is felt across other federal agencies, from agriculture to Veterans Affairs. In a report released last month, the General Accounting Office, the oversight arm of Congress, identified federal personnel management issues as a high-risk problem for the first time. It says cuts in NASA staff could affect safety on space shuttle flights. Personnel shortages at the State Department are hurting efforts to fight drug smuggling and visa fraud. National park visitor centers and hotels face an increased risk of fire due to lack of trained staff. Controller General David Walker heads the GAO.
It's been popular in the past to bash the government, to bash federal workers. That's a mistake. The federal government is the largest, most complex, most diverse, most important entity on the face of the earth, arguably. You can't afford to have anything less than the best and brightest running the government and doing the people's work.
But administrators at top public policy schools say the 1970s expectation that their best and brightest graduates would head to Washington forever is gone. Private companies and nonprofits can often provide a more rewarding service career. Take Margaret Ayers, for example. She graduated from Minnesota's Hubert Humphrey Institute for Public Affairs in 1994 and won a spot in a prestigious government training program. But she didn't stick with her job in the Department of Agriculture Food Stamps program any longer than she had to. Instead, Ayers spent 2 years at a nonprofit representing local and state welfare agencies, then joined a private consulting firm that evaluates child welfare programs on behalf of the Department of Health. She says she has more access to decision makers from her vantage point outside the government.
Not that I'm big on, you know, ooh, I know that important person, but certain people have the information you need. And when I was working on food stamp issues at the American Public Human Services Association, I got to know more people in my home agency and got to understand better what they were doing than I was when I was actually in my home agency in my little position.
As the government's been downsizing, private contractors like Ayers have taken on more and more public responsibilities. Even supporters of rebuilding the federal workforce say that's not necessarily bad. But some say it depends. Paul Light directs the Governmental Studies Program at the Brookings Institution.
It depends on whether there's somebody left in government who knows enough about the job that they can oversee a contract wisely. I mean, what you want to do in this new public service, this multi-sectored public service, is lower the boundaries between the private, the nonprofit, and the government sector so that people can move more easily across the boundaries.
Light says the career civil service was designed for people to come in young, pay their dues, and be assured of stability and promotions throughout their working life. He wants to overhaul the system so it will offer young people looking for a challenge a way to make an impact early. Money can be an issue, too. At Harvard's Kennedy School, for example, administrators found offering scholarships in exchange for a commitment to enter public service helps pique student interest in going into government. But it's not just top policy jobs that the feds need to fill.
All right, I have your chemotherapy that you'll be getting today. And
at the National Institutes of Health Outpatient Oncology Unit, Nurse Natalie Matthews starts a round of chemo.
And your chemotherapy is going to be starting right now.
All the patients here are part of federally funded medical trials crucial to developing new treatments. But the market for nurses is tight across the country. Chief Nurse Claire Hastings says that makes it difficult to hire the right people.
What we find is when someone leaves, it takes a longer time to find a qualified person. People have more opportunities to make selections so that the candidates are pickier. And the whole recruitment process has just been a much bigger area of focus for us.
Hastings even has special authority to offer salaries that are competitive in the expensive Washington area. Recently, that 535-member ultimate agency management team, Congress, has given other agencies the authority to hire on the spot rather than going through the usual months-long hiring routine. Republican Senator George Voinovich says the civil code already contains incentives to keep employees on board, including financial ones.
Unfortunately, in too many instances, the agencies don't ask for those things to be funded. And in some instances, I suspect that the Appropriations Committee in Congress haven't been willing to respond in a positive fashion, because too often, I think, legislators have no appreciation how important human capital is to the operation of government.
Senator Voinovich has been paying attention to these issues for some time. The new GAO report may open the eyes and purse strings of other members of Congress. The high-risk designation the report gives to federal personnel issues uses language typically reserved for such action-inspiring problems as fraud, waste, and corruption. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.